Hello and well, it's not the same. Hello and welcome everybody to another episode of Behind the Counter. I'm your host, Rich Stamboli, and we have no intro today, but with me as always is the jazz man, Jonathan Adler.
Pow pow.
How you doing?
Jazzy.
Is that what jazz men do?
Yes, yeah, so I go pow pow.
Pow pow.
Pow pow.
So what's going on, man?
Not a whole lot, man.
The no music really throws me off. It kind of gets my my juices flowing.
Gets your blood boiling.
Yeah, it gets me moving.
Get your buns moving.
Does get my buns moving.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. I'm pretty exhausted.
From?
Maury Povich.
Yeah, you went to Maury yesterday.
That's weird.
Yeah, it is weird.
You were not the father.
I am not the father. It was kind of emotionally draining because it's going through a whole range of emotions in 3 second bursts. Stanford, Connecticut is very weird.
Okay. Is that where you guys went to see it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Who drove?
Yeah. Ralphie.
Nice.
And there was like a pre-show beforehand, and it's just basically it's like you waiting in the lobby of a hotel to be let in, and it's like these two like DJ dudes, and like they had a bunch of guys come on stage, and like a bunch of fans and stuff made them dance, and it was really weird. And at one point, I was like, I just zoned out. I just started clapping when I was supposed to be clapping, and Ralphie's like, don't do that. I go, I'm just engaged. I'm like, I got to put 100% in. But it was fun. It was exhausting. I'm losing my voice because of it.
Were you like cheering that loud?
Yeah, because I want to be on TV.
Did you guys do the yes chant the entire time?
No, we're doing the same thing with Maury though, and douche. We did a lot of douche chants. douche.
Great.
It was fun.
So that wiped you out for today.
That wiped me out big time. Mm-hmm. It's been a busy week.
Yeah, it has been, man. Since the WrestleMania party on Sunday.
Crazy times.
A lot of wrestling. A lot of comics.
A
lot of good stuff. Captain America came out last week. We didn't see it yet, but from what I hear, it's good. I'm boycotting the movie.
Oh yeah,
no,
you're going. You're pro hierarchy.
I gotta go.
pro Hydra.
I'm 1991 pro hierarchy. staying away. I'm busy, man. Like the weather's getting nice, so it's a little crazy. You know?
Shifting moods. Pollen's in the air.
Kind of starting to come. I know that's bad for you.
Oh, big time.
Yeah,
big time. I'm constantly medicated.
Yeah.
Just and my antihistamine content is just at a high.
My wife too. Like she's like I think everybody I know, for the 90% of people I know, have like suffer from like terrible allergies.
Yeah.
You got allergies, Andrew?
Awful.
Yeah.
Awful. It's just my eyes.
That's your eyes.
Yeah.
Like so bad to the point that
they fall out.
They fall out, and I got to get new ones.
Yeah, like marbles.
And I wear contact lenses, so
yeah. Okay. I always forget you wear contact lenses.
Mm-hmm.
You faker.
I am.
I've seen his glasses a couple of times. That's
no, I've never seen glasses.
No, we have because when Iron Man 3 came out, we were
Oh, those glasses. Those aren't real, though.
Yeah, they are.
No, they're not real.
They're real.
How bad's your prescription?
-6.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
Like blind.
Yeah.
I'm blind. Yeah.
So like, you need like Coke bottles.
I need like crazy Coke bottles to see. Like it's
hey
awful.
Fervor.
Hey Fervor.
Hey Fervor. Yeah. He's also wearing a hairpiece.
So it's been a hairpiece for a while.
I'll say that.
It's been a hairpiece for a long time.
It's fake.
So talk to me about news, man. What do we got?
Well, I just poked my head in.
Sorry, this is also our 99th episode. And next week is going to be our 100th episode celebration.
We got so many surprises for you guys.
Yep. A blast
on
from
100
the past.
Episodic weeks.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Much more. It looks like Comicology, the distributor for most online digital content for comic books, is being purchased by Amazon.
As we speak. That's kind of cool. What do you think that means for the business?
I just think it's going to be even easier and faster to get your comics. Because it's still at this point. Comicsology, I believe 9 a.m. is when they drop DC books. With some independents, I think around 10, 11 o'clock, I think we see the Marvel stuff start trickling in. I think that's going to drastically change. I think that's going to be like, you know, midnight. We're going to get some releases and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, it's good to have something like that. I think Amazon was going to pump a ton of advertising into it. It's going to be good for the business.
It's interesting how, and maybe you can explain this to me. Sometimes I'm not a very smart man, but
I'll try my best.
You go to a comic store, let's say, you know, you order X. If you're a comic store, you can order X amount of books.
Right.
And you say, like, let's say I order from Diamond, I order $80,000 worth of merchandise a month, right? Mm-hmm. Now, their wholesale cost to me would be about 55%, right? So, like, I would pay 55% of face value for the books.
How's it working for a distributor?
And you can knock up for a customer. Let's say you sign up for a subscription and you're like, I'll give you 35% off. I'll give you 40% off. Sign up for this yearly thing, right? With the digital market, you don't really have that.
Well, I got to figure there's got to be some type of larger markup for it in terms of the return. Because, you know, the price point is pretty much the exact same thing.
Right. I've seen like 10% off here and there, 15% off with coupon codes.
Yeah, but not a day of release.
Right, which is kind of interesting because it's an ethereal thing. It's a digital, it's digital formatting. You know, you're downloading it once and then like if you rip it or burn it, whatever. But it's not a tangible book. And I feel like it's like the opposite of what it should be. You know what I mean? Like if you're doing straight digital in order to get people more to digital to save paper, dollar books, $2 books.
Yeah, you know? But I think the whole thing now is like, well, the reason why it's not a dollar book is because they don't want to impact the brick and mortar stores. Mm-hmm. They don't want to, you know, mess up the floppy books.
Right.
Because if that's the case, if you have a dollar, you know, Batman number one or whatever coming out, it's going to sell like hotcakes on the digital market as opposed to the $4.99 book that you're going to be paying for at the store. Mm-hmm. I mean, that completely destroys the direct market. Mm-hmm. When it comes to this stuff, I don't think I've ever seen, like, you know, we were all part of everything. I think every comic book reader is probably in some type of club or whatever that allows them some type of deeper discount for being a member of something and getting your retail, you know, your retail sales out of it. But you don't really get that through digital marketing. The digital marketplace for comics is strictly you're paying for the convenience of being able to get the book immediately in your hands right then and there on your device or computer or whatever.
Right.
Like I've said before, and you agree with me, I like the tangibility of it, but I have to read digital.
Right.
Have to do it because I don't have the real estate anymore for it.
Right. I'm running out of room.
I have nothing. I have nowhere to put this stuff. But yeah, I wonder how it would work in terms of comic shop, how much money. It has to be, they have to be taking some type of large profit because Comixology is like one of the few people that actually did something like this.
Right.
And have been that successful with it.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting. I want to read more into it. Like, I want to know if the company was in trouble beforehand before selling it or they were looking for buyers and what Amazon is going to do once they have it. Because Amazon, the thing I love about Amazon is that, like, it's honestly like a place to go for some pretty good deals. Do you know what I mean? And there's a lot of great stuff on Amazon that's just like always on sale. And it's such a direct market for like, you know what, let me just check Amazon. You can get discounts here and right. You go on Slick Deals. You can get coupons for whatever you want. I wonder how that's going to impact the sale of the comics also, you know?
There's going to be something involved in that. I don't think that Comixology was, you know, they're the name that's been associated with buying digital comics out there. I don't think they were the ones that are approaching other people. I think purely Amazon saw a really good thing. They are looking for a way to sell absolutely everything under the sun.
Right.
You know, they're doing great with their video services now. You know, I'm a Prime member, so I get most of the stuff for free off of their... off their streaming service.
$80 a year.
Yeah. I think it's going up. I think it's going to go up to like a solid 100 now.
Still not bad.
Yeah, I get free shipping out of it and everything. But I think it's probably them saying, you know what? You know, we do well off the graphic novel stuff. We need to have something that's more direct. We need to have something that's an immediate service. Because that's what all this stuff is about, is immediacy. And like, we don't have it with music anymore. We don't have it with, you know, with like a direct market with music or DVD sales or anything like that.
Yeah.
It's usually digital.
It's also on like the other end of it too, the thing, the big thing that differs between music and like your comic books is like, for the most part, like you can't get something before it comes out, you know, like once it's Wednesday and that's when the book hits, you know, very rare. You'll get like
Tuesday though.
Yeah. But I mean like a month ahead of time or like a week ahead of time or 2 weeks ahead of time with music, music and movies. If you are web savvy enough to go on a torrent site, you could score whatever you want way ahead of time.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
it's rare that you'd see a project that doesn't get leaked ahead of time.
Right. With comics, it's a little different. You'll get like 1 or 2 days before, but, you know, you're not getting... It's just the Wednesday rush. You know?
Yeah. There's like... It's weird because there's like 3 books that are always leaked on Tuesday if they come out like early, like on the torrent, stuff like that. It's always... Superior Spider-Man, and they're pure scans. It's not digital scans. It's someone with a crappy scanner doing the, you know, doing a scan of them getting it like from the diamond shipment. Spidey, Avengers Undercover. Before that, Avengers. What was that? What was the book that was Avengers Undercover before?
Avengers World. No,
the arcade thing.
Avengers Academy.
No. The
Yes, the one that was Avengers Academy.
What was it called? So I love the book.
Yeah. Avengers Arena.
Yeah. That book, now all new Ultimates is part of it, and Dupe were like the big ones that were like leaked a day early. So like it's obviously someone's general interest is like geared. I think Wolverine starts leaking that too.
Whoever that one dude is.
Yeah. Scanbro. His name is Scanbro.
Is it? Yeah. Awesome.
Scanbro.
It's Mike from Royal.
I love this. I love horror.
Dupe, baby. I like Dupe number one. I read it.
I get a chance to read it yet.
It was interesting. It's weird. It's a weird book. But like I like the fact that Peter Milligan came back to the fold.
And, who did the art on that?
It was Alred inking and somebody else drawing. Oh. I forgot his name, but like the dude or lady is he was on a couple of books that we like again. But I can't place it.
Yeah.
You know. This week was interesting. We got the new issue of Walking Dead that came out.
Very good.
I really dug it. I really liked the ending. Nice. If you're watching and you're picking up the book weekly, is a big spoiler, which is pretty nuts actually, because I didn't think it was going to end that way.
Yeah, neither did I.
Or you have Rick not getting poisoned by a zombie infected arrow, and he's okay, and they're kind of coming up with a plan to face Negan, and then Negan shows up, and he basically talks down to him and says like, look. Like, you're not going to do anything. You're an idiot. You want to know why? Because of this, this, and this. And we can work together to build a great society. You guys could do this. We want a barter system. You're being a jackass. Let's live together. And Negan was like, oh, my God, you're totally freaking right. I'm beginning to see it your way. And as soon as he said that, Rick slits his throat with a knife. So now who's the psychopath?
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously, this is something that he's been planning ahead of time, where he was like, oh, you know, like this is going to be something that we're really working towards, and we're going to let him into this. I don't know if that's to really, you know, get back at Negan, like draw home, like, this is the repercussions of your actions, like, you're a dick no matter what. Or maybe there was a split second where he's like, you know, he was going to take him into the fold, and we were going to work together, and just old Rick kind of snap back in.
Right. Yeah. It was a good issue.
It was very solid. I thought. And this is the issue before the last part of the war storyline. I loved it. I thought it was totally, totally great. I think it was the first read I had this week.
Yeah. What did I read first this week?
You read Batman. I think I read Batman actually first too.
It wasn't Walking Dead or Batman. It may have been Dupe, to be honest.
I gotta get back to Dupe.
Yeah.
Gotta get on that Dupe.
I don't know why. I was just like sitting there. You know what? My first read wasn't Batman or Walking Dead. It was just something kind of. When it comes back to me, I'll explain it. But I like Batman Eternal, man. That was my book of the week.
Mm. Who did the art in that book?
I'm not sure.
Iron
Fist was my first read. I'm sorry.
Oh, I didn't read that yet. That's on my pile.
Really interesting take. It's not lighthearted at all.
Oh, that's good. It's Karander's, right? I really like him.
Dark as all hell, man.
That's awesome.
It's dark. Because I like, I do like the Bendis-y, Danny Rand Iron Fist, you know? Like, and when Swarzynski. Dwayne Swarzynski, when he was doing The Immortal Iron Fist.
He was doing?
I think it was him and...
No, it was Fraction and Brubaker.
Was it Fraction and
Brubaker? Fraction and Brubaker were the ones that made the Iron Fist into like what he is today.
With Daniel, with the Aha.
Yeah.
On it. Okay.
Like, the whole like big gigantic run, and then like Brubaker left, and it was just Fraction.
Yeah.
That was like the story of the old Iron Fist.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry, that's what I was thinking of. I don't know where I got Swarzynski.
He may have
from.
Came on near the end of it. Okay. I know Swarzynski is the filling guy.
But that was like... Awesome. That's my favorite Iron Fist stuff. You know, like they took a character who that's another interesting thing about Marvel is that like for years, these characters were slept on. And within the last 10 years, you're getting like these great revivals. You know, Iron Fist is one of them.
Hell yeah.
And now I'm not going to give it away, but it's just like it's a really dark book. You know, I think you'd like it. I like the new Marvel.
I love the imprints.
Number ones, you know, like they're really cool stuff. I'm a big fan of new Ms. Marvel, too.
I think it's an awesome book.
Man. Yeah, great concept.
A book that really was kind of iffy to go on to and like why we kind of need this type of thing. And it was just, it has that same type of Runaways feel. I mean, it doesn't hurt that they have the same artist, but it has like something that's very unique and very indie about what they're doing.
Yeah.
So it's just very excellent Alonzo. Everything that's kind of like cool and kind of different now in the company, you could tell is from, you know, him okaying projects.
Right, because it's... and it's such like an FU to DC in such a big way, you know, where like a lot of, you know, like we always talk about this, a lot of stuff that DC's putting out is, you know, mediocre.
Well, there's nothing there.
Right.
There's this week, I think the only DC book I picked up was Batman Eternal.
Batman Eternal, which, you know, is it's a weekly book.
Astro City, I picked up.
I picked up Astro City too, and I'm a little bit behind on it, but it's a great relaunch for that title. What didn't you like about Batman Eternal?
Where do I start? I feel.
You think it's just filler?
Yeah, I think there's a certain way that that DC operates with their weekly series. Like, I think that 52, the original 52, was like the consummate perfect way of doing a weekly book. It was so freaking awesome. It wasn't just like, okay, we're staying up set pieces. Like, this book starts out with Batman completely defeated, the bat symbol, you know, scarred into his chest, up against the, you know, strapped against the bat light. And yeah, I'm saying bat light.
Look, it's the bat light,
and someone telling off, you know, it's from the near future, and someone off camera saying like how defeated he was. And like, you've seen this 100 times over, and then they go into like a really weird version of Jason Bard coming in, who's like a young Ben Urich joining the police force, and like we kind of went back a few steps on like treating Commissioner Gordon like a piece of garbage.
Right, I like that. I like all that stuff.
Professor Pig. I mean, it's always good to see him. It wasn't really the Professor Pig that I'm used to seeing. I think it was like so over the top. But it was just, it felt like very. And there's like that one back and forth that Batman had with. So the whole clincher with this book is, Commissioner Gordon is fighting Professor Pig. Batman comes in for the rescue. He run. One of the goons of Professor Pig runs away. Goes down one of the subway tunnels, and there, like, he's up against like an electric box, and he has a gun in his hand. Gordon's like, "Put your gun down." He's like, "I don't have a gun in my hand." And then when he shoots the gun, tries to shoot the gun out of his hand, it goes right through it, like it doesn't exist. Right. And the hits the electrical box, kills this guy, and then, you know, a train crashes right in front of him. Hundreds of people are dead, so all on Gordon's lap.
Right.
And like immediately, the bad cop is there. He's like, "Get that guy in handcuffs," and like him.
Like, hey, new guy, get the guy in handcuffs.
Yeah, and like this is your first case. You're getting it in, and then you see Batman. You know, show up with Jim Gordon, and Batman's like, "I'll do everything I can, Jim."
Yeah,
he's like, "Remember that thing I told you about a little while ago?" And he's like, "This is it." And he's like, and you know, they send off. Like, it didn't hold any weight at all to it.
Okay,
it's the first issue. It's also
a weekly series.
I'm unnecessarily very difficult on number one issues, especially coming from that company.
Yeah.
But it definitely felt like James Tynion more than Scott Snyder.
Okay. Well, you have like the creative element of this is Tim Seeley, Ray Fawkes, John Layman. That's you from the other show.
Yeah.
James Tynion and Scott Snyder. Right. So the beginning,
isn't like Dan Jurgens in this somehow.
No,
he's on the other weekly series. They're doing,
and the art with this issue is Jason Fabok. You know.
Well, I did like it then. I did like the art,
but it started out very Grant Morrison and very Scott Snyder. And then, you know, I think it's going to kind of like peak. It's going to be peaks and valleys with this.
But that's the way it always is with these weekly series. Yeah. Because like with the original 52, I feel even as much as they didn't say they did, I think they had a point of where they were going. With a lot of these weekly series, especially like Countdown, they had no immediate plans. Like, we'll write, you know, we're going to get a month's worth of plot together.
Just keep writing it.
Well, just keep on writing it. Mm-hmm. I hope, because Snyder's involved in this, that they do have some type of long-term plan.
Yeah.
And, like, them just showing this one scene of him in the future strapped to the freaking bat light.
Yeah.
That it's not just that, you know, it's window dressing. That, okay, we have to figure out how we're going to get here. Who is going to be the mystery person that's destroying his life?
Yeah, yeah.
I want to. It doesn't feel like a lot of the weekly projects, there is, like, a master plan involved with them.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's like a Batman. It's a Batman weekly book. Who's not going to buy it?
Yeah, I agree with that completely. I think I really liked it. I really enjoyed it. Out of what I read this week, that's my book of the week, because I didn't know what to expect reading the book, but the fact that now it's kind of like a I gotta defend Jim Gordon kind of book. I like it, and they really hammer the fact Snyder did a really good job of making every single cop on Gotham PD hate his guts. Like, Jim Gordon is the superhero of the Gotham police force. Like, him and Bullock are the only two good cops for the
most
part.
And it's also a little ridiculous. Like, it's Jim Gordon, dude. Yeah. This guy's legendary. He saved the world 100 times over.
Right.
And like, there's a crash, and no one believes that he had. Right. That it wasn't like, you know, it was maybe an accident or whatever. Anything.
It's New 52 Jim Gordon.
yeah, whatever.
You know.
But still, he carries around the legacy of, like, old Gordon.
Uh-huh.
You know, regardless of, even though we have, like, New 52 and everything, like, because it's Batman.
Yeah, that's true.
And
yeah,
it's, like, the long, the weird Batman history. He still carries the weight that he is Commissioner Gordon. And what's he doing responding to a call like that?
He's dyed his hair.
Why is Commissioner Gordon going out on the field and fighting one-on-one with Professor Pig?
He was always out on the field, though. That's the thing. Like, Commissioner's got to be.
He's bad at commissioning.
Right. He's got to be the dude who's out there to make sure all the other cops don't screw up, you know? But I like the whole interaction where, like, this kid is basically, like, Jim Gordon, too, you know? I don't know where this is going to go, man. You think Jim Gordon's going to bite it?
No. No. Well, the most interesting thing about this is that a few months ago, they released that awesome little teaser.
The picture?
The picture of Thanksgiving with, like, you know, so there's going to be some cool stuff in this, I'm sure. But, this is going to be, the big part of this is going to be spoiler, is the return.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm along for the ride.
Yeah.
It's Scott Snyder Batman in some way, shape, or form. It definitely feels like the backup stories you see by James Tynion the fourth, or whatever his name is.
James T. Tynion the fourth. James T. Tynion. I like it, man. I'm looking forward to more of it. You read All New X-Men, right?
Love New All New X-Men. Before I go into that, I just want to say my book of the week was Daredevil. I want you to read this book. Yeah. It's a 1.5.
Right.
1.5 Oak. It's his 50th anniversary. Mm. It's a bigger book than I thought it was going to be.
It's a pretty big book.
Because it relates to All New X-Men, because... we're dealing with, as we've been talking about, time travel, the future. This book takes place 50 years in the future, with him being a single dad raising his kid, and it's so awesome.
That him and Foggy adopted.
Yeah, and Foggy's alive and skinny with long hair and stuff like that. It's awesome, dude. It's so awesome.
I missed that. I was trying to squeeze in a couple of minutes today to read it.
But All New X-Men, also another story about futures.
All New X-Men, really interesting. Marvel's got a good lock on, like, what they're doing right now, as they have been for the past few years. You know, it's just, it's good stuff. You know, well, there's a lot of filler books, but it's a lot of good stuff.
Well, we're like a month away from Marvel's next event,
Original Sin.
Yeah,
yeah,
which is their identity crisis.
As somebody killing the Watcher.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm excited about that.
But I'm psyched about it.
This issue was really cool because it was anniversary issue. It was 25. It was All New X-Men number 25. And the whole issue is about Beast having night terrors pretty much and just not being able to get to sleep. And somebody's talking to him. Now,
when you were reading it,
Cassandra Nova.
No, I thought it was I really thought you were supposed to believe that was the Xavier from the future.
Okay.
That's like I had no doubt in my mind that was going to be heavily implied that was supposed to be who it was.
Yeah. Okay. It was a good reveal. I honestly thought it was gonna be like a weird reveal that it's Cassandra Nova because that he screwed up that they screwed up time so bad that she somehow is back in the mansion.
Would be awesome
to terrorize them again. Because if you think about it, man, that stuff is over 10 years old.
Oh yeah, man.
You know, and like it would be kind of cool to see. I always liked that character. You know, like how she was Professor X's twin that tried to kill him in the womb.
Such a good story.
Right. You know.
Great, great villain.
Really, really great villain. So that's, I thought it was him the whole time, or he was dreaming about Professor X or whatever. But the reveal after saying, like, hey, this is the future that you're headed towards, and it sucks, and this is the future that could be, but it's probably not going to happen because you're a douche and you screwed everything up. The fact that it was the Watcher telling him all this stuff and then saying, Hank McCoy, you disgust me.
You disgust me. And what's cool about the cool thing they did was every... The first half is all the negative stories, and it's like all like, you know, the core X-Men guys and like the worst possible thing can happen with them.
Right.
And a lot of it alluding to, you know, the future storyline with like Jean Grey because she wasn't raised with Xavier and everything. She lived in this world, you know, plucked from her time, that she becomes like the new Zorn where she's this miserable person and hates human beings. Mm. And it's all these like one page spreads like done by a different artist. So it's like Jean Grey with that. And then it's like Cyclops turning into the Phoenix again. Mm. And then they have like, you know, Iceman losing his humanity.
Being a monster.
Yeah. Becoming like the monster and like Archangel turning into, you know, Archangel and killing everybody. Right. And like they had that awesome Colossus picture, man.
With him with the gun.
Yeah.
And like the sword.
Yeah. And there's a lot of cool stuff. Like I love seeing the tease and everything. And like, there was like the one with like a magic being the new Sorcerer Supreme and all that stuff. And it's really cool. And I love the fact they're addressing all these possible futures. And it's been the overall thing. So I thought it was a really, really awesome, awesome issue.
How'd you feel about Beast in the Savage Land?
I mean, like, I think I've
making his way down to the Savage Land.
Yeah, I've seen it 100 times too. I thought the weird Alex Ross style, like, smiley Beast in the city.
Oh, it was awesome.
It was really weird looking.
The X-Men parade where Cyclops is blasting a building.
And like I really like, and I think the like the funny stuff was in a weird place. Like
it was. In the book, if you pick up the book, it's all a serious story, and then all of a sudden
something was wrong with my copy.
No, it was like
one of the good futures was like Psylocke and Storm like exploring space.
Right.
And the next page is like nine panel grids for like five pages of the saga of Colossus and Kitty being like ridiculous with each other.
Right. The first one
that it's first one's that one is the two of them, and then it's like I love it, the Wolverine, the two Wolverine stories, like Wolverine and old Cyclops, like at dinner table being old people, and him just like Cyclops is a gene, and the other one with the really awesome Wolverine coming home after hard day's work to Jean Grey,
who's dressed like 90s Jean Grey.
Yeah, it's like why are you dressed like that?
Which was awesome, and then it got back to the serious stuff with the Watcher. That is kind of so out of place.
Yeah, because it's the last one is the Wolverine thing, and then it goes right into like magic as being Sorcerer Supreme, and then going back to the crazy like giant size X-Men number one with like Maggot Colossus and Hawkeye Scarlet Witch and the Son of Magneto and Captain America with a sword.
Yeah, it's the X-Men universe is like the best part about that is like you can have so much stuff go on right now because of the time travel.
Yeah.
Shit, you know?
Well, they even clue in, like, this is, I don't know if it's a spoiler into the future or anything like that, but they mentioned that, you know, that the possible universe gets rebooted because of this thing. And that's the thing we're most afraid of is this being, like, a big crisis thing.
Okay.
I hope it doesn't happen.
I could do with a soft reboot. You know what? Like, it would be kind of stupid, and from like, a fan's perspective, from my perspective, because when you have a soft reboot, you're going back to, like, number ones, and Marvel has been doing that for the past 2 years. You've been getting like new number ones every couple of months, and you've been getting
and even if it's not number one, it still has number one on the cover.
It has number one on the cover, and you're getting like the point ones and the point whatevers, and it's a little like I know what's happening, but for organizational purposes, it's a little
take it easy.
It's a little ridiculous.
Like Wolverine's been rebooted, I think, three times the same year.
Yeah.
In like a 12-month span, it's gone through many, many reboots.
Well, you had like the rise and fall of like a ton of Wolverine books, you know, like Savage Wolverine.
And the X-Force stuff too.
Yeah. Yes. Savage Wolverine.
Yeah.
Wolverine Max. Yeah. Regular Wolverine. Paul Cornell Wolverine. Wolverine Avengers. The best there is. Avengers.
Like all the Avengers books, like from Bendis era, like has gone through multiple number ones.
Yeah.
Like when we had the Golden Age, the Heroic Age, like we went through a ton of new number ones.
Yeah.
And then for this, we got no number. I would say that's going to happen after Original Sin.
You're going to get some Spidey number ones.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, the next big... did you read last week the Ultimate Spider-Man book?
No.
Because now it's Ultimate Spider-Man 200. Now it's being rebooted as Miles Morales, the Ultimate Spider-Man.
Right.
It's we're leading up to some big crossover thing that Bendis is doing. I think it's Bendis who's doing it. Or maybe this. No, I think it's Slott, where it's like the sequel to Spider-Man.
Okay.
Where it's Spider-Man and every single version of Spider-Man ever. 1602 Spider-Man, weird Dr. Octopus, you know, Spider-Junior, all that stuff.
I'd read an Exiles book with all the Spider-Men.
I think I have already.
Yeah.
I think Exiles has done everything possible with alternate realities. I missed that book. I wish it came back.
At one point, I stopped picking it up because it got a little, like... Towards the end, I wasn't like feeling it.
No, it got really messy. I think it became too involved in Blink's crap. But I loved it. Yeah. It was like a book that anyone can die, and it was really, really awesome. Mm-hmm. And they came up with some great ideas.
They did. I want a time traveling band of Spider-Mans.
Mm-hmm.
I want Ox Spidey with Peter Parker Spidey.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing that's kind of interesting because I really enjoyed that last issue of Superior Spider-Man, which came out like I think 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Spidey came back.
Where Spidey came back, but did he really?
I think so, but I like we said before, like, I really am more interested in what happens to Doc Ock after this movie. Like, how is going to play into it?
He's going to go into J. Jonah's body.
I think it would be interesting if they make him, you know, part of his, like, his conscience. Like, he's always going to be around him, just like Macho.
Forever around your face. What other news happened this week?
Not a whole lot, right?
No. C2E2 is pretty soon. Nothing really happens at C2E2. Yeah.
All that quietness.
A lot, man. Captain America came out, which
that's like the thing. I know that came out, and there's been a lot of news buzzing about that. I'm trying to keep away from it.
Yeah. Did you read any spoilers about what the end of the?
Nope. I refuse. I know one spoiler about the movie.
Where he's fighting GSP.
I know about that one already. But no, an actual, like, real, like, a spoiler part of it. But I don't know what happens afterwards. I don't know, like, who dies, who lives. Don't want to know. I'm trying to lock it in for maybe Sunday. I gotta see it.
Yeah,
I'm psyched. I heard nothing but incredible things about it.
Yeah, next time, I'm usually pretty decent seeing the major ones on the first day, but this one escaped me.
I'm dying to see it. Like, this is the one that I'm really excited for. And now they revealed that Captain America 3 is coming out the same day as Batman and Superman.
Ah, that's awesome. Good. Good stuff. Wasn't there like some other news too about the Justice League movie too? Did be like whatever date for the Justice League movie was Avengers 2?
Yeah, I think that they're trying to gonna go head to head with each other. I don't know if that was officially confirmed. Nice. I know Star Wars started shooting.
Ah, yeah. I saw Peter Mayhew in the Chewbacca costume.
And in a wheelchair?
Yeah, I didn't see him in the wheelchair.
I saw him in a wheelchair. It's very depressing.
7 feet tall, man.
I'm psyched for this stuff.
For a new Star Wars? Yeah. Me too, man.
I'm really like...
What was your deal with Star Wars that you're... Not a, but you love Star Wars, but you hate Star Wars at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, okay. I think I went through the same thing that everyone else did, and had the big problem with the prequels. Like, they kind of ruined it for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really against Star Wars for a long period of time. And I mean, I grew up, I was like Star Wars, like that was it, like Star Wars comic books, like all about it.
Yeah.
And I think a few years back, so I was with a coworker. The coworker was like, you know. I was like, you know, he was really into Star Wars, like super into Star Wars my age. And he's like, well, how can you hate Star Wars, man? Like, what about like this? Like, what about Star Wars? Like, the first Star Wars? What about
just kept saying Star Wars over and over.
How about Star Wars? How about Star Wars? But, like, I kind of allowed myself to forget how incredibly awesome it was. I sat down and watched Empire, and I was like, wow, you know, the aesthetics of it and just the way it was is, like, never be recaptured again. Like, whenever I see, like, you know how the Death Star looks like with the... on the interior with like the weird gridding that they have, with the weird like, you know, test tube style lights and everything that are all over the place.
Yeah.
Whenever I see something like that, I saw something recently, it immediately triggers in complete and utter nostalgia.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited about the idea of like what Abrams did with Star Trek and made like a full-blown action movie, what he could do with this franchise.
I think bigger and better, man.
I think so. I think that it's going to go much larger.
I think these are going to make up definitely for the prequels. It's going to be like the biggest thing in the universe again, and we're going to get another special edition on Blu-ray with even more footage from the first few movies.
Have they done a Blu-ray edition?
They did.
Yeah?
Yeah. I still got to pick that up, man, which I'm pretty excited. I have almost every version of Star. I have like the VHSs. I have the not the second DVD, but the remastered ones with the extra footage.
Yeah, I think that's the last one I have. The last one I had was probably on DVD, the when they did the remastering, and they put like the
Han shooting first. No, I'm sorry, Greedo shooting first.
Yeah, and the Shao's the Empire dudes, you know, ship coming out in the end, and,
right? And like, Jabba showing up in the episode,
all
four.
That stuff. Like that's and that was like I was kind of done with it. I was like, all right.
I watched Star Wars on Spike not too long ago, and I'm a huge Star Wars fan. Like I love the movies. I think they're phenomenal. There's also a lot of like, you know, there's also a lot of faults in all the movies, but that's okay. Like you gloss over it. You're just kind of like, shut your mouth. It's Star Wars, you know? I'm sure there's a forum about this or something. I can probably on Reddit or whatever. What is Han Solo's deal doing that really effeminate voice in, A New Hope when he's dressed like the stormtrooper, and they check up, and he's like, "Everything's great, everything's great."
I think it's my favorite moment in all of Star Wars.
I love that moment.
Everything's fine, thank you. Stormtroopers doing stormtrooper things.
What's the motivation behind that?
I think that's legitimately like that's like something that he would do, and I think they just got the camera rolling. Oh, you know what? Make it work. But then the thing is, like, that's what I think is kind of fascinating about like the first Star Wars movies. It's like Harrison Ford was like so not one of these dudes,
right?
Like he wasn't struggling. He was struggling after that point, but
he had a job.
He had a job. He didn't really care, and he was a natural personality,
right?
And like a lot of it came out and like made those movies what they are.
He went from American Graffiti to being Indy and Han Solo.
Yeah, the dude. Exactly. And it was
and the president
and the president. Got my plane, but it was so perfect. Like it's so like he adds so much to the equation.
Yeah,
like if it was just Luke. And Leia and C-3PO and R2-D2 and a bear.
And a different Han Solo.
And a different guy, like, I don't know, Cole Meany.
Tom Selleck.
Tom Selleck. Yeah, Tom Selleck.
Tom Selleck, who could have been Indiana Jones.
Could have been. Thank goodness he wasn't.
Right? It's really bananas, man. When you look at like some old casting about how like some of the right choices were, thank God, were friggin' made. You know, yeah, like Harrison Ford, best choice for both those characters.
Absolutely.
Indiana Jones and Han Solo. Speaking of which, like, it's kind of in the same level. Apparently Nathan Fillion's in the New Gardens movie.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What do you think?
That was released the other day.
Then they reveal that he's actually Michael Douglas playing Michael Douglas.
Yeah. I think it's going to reveal that he's, what's his name, from Firefly.
Oh, yeah, his name's like Buzz By.
As the cameo, because...
Who could he play?
What's his name created Firefly, right?
Whedon.
Yeah.
Who could he play?
And Whedon's doing the Avengers movie.
Well, he would be a space character, right?
Yeah.
Who's left? Well, if he show up as Silver Surfer and blew your mind.
Whoa. It would blow our mind. I think he'd be an all right Silver Surfer.
I don't think he'd be a good Silver Surfer. You could do better than that.
Yeah.
I think he's great. I think there's a role for him that I just don't know where it is yet.
No, my pick for Silver Surfer.
I know. I certainly do.
I think since Whedon's heavily involved with like the possible Guardians of the Galaxy role for Nathan Fillion, I think since Whedon is so heavily involved with all this stuff, he's going to show up as his character in from Firefly.
Why waste it?
Why not, man?
Nah, have him do
sell that property to Marvel, make extra money.
Nah, screw that, man. It's a story's over. The story's like story is done. Like I appreciate it for what it was.
Mm.
I really would want him to be in some type of role. I'm just trying to like narrow down who it could be in like.
The modern
Marvel Universe.
Like, Marvel Universe with the galaxy.
Thanos.
Corsair.
Can't do it.
Why not?
Mutant stuff. I think they're going to be doing something with that. They can't even say the word mutant.
Yeah, but Corsair's not a mutant.
Yeah, but it's stupid to introduce him into the fold. If
Space pirate, man.
Stupid character. Aside from him being Scott Summers' father, he's a stupid character.
I love Corsair, man.
Don't get it.
Corsair, I like Corsair. I'm really looking forward to the Cyclops.
Too. I am.
Greg Ruger, man. Greg Ruger writing Corsair and Young Cyclops. Come on.
I'm all that, but I'd never have appreciated the character. I don't think that's the guy you should waste Nathan Fillion on.
I think he's going to be Corsair. He's going to go from Firefly to being the same character with the mustache, handlebar mustache.
That's going to be Boba Fett. He's going to be the new Boba Fett in the Guardians of the Galaxy movie.
Well, him and Michael Rooker worked together on Slither.
What if he's Vance Astro?
That'd be all right.
What if he?
I can see that.
What if he's Fire Lord?
I can see that too.
What if he is
Ego? Quasar. Quasar would be perfect.
He would be an awesome Quasar. Yeah. Yes. Or Captain Marvel. He'd be an awesome Captain Marvel.
Because
you're doing all the Kree stuff in this one.
Yeah.
It's gonna be an interesting movie. Very, very interesting movie.
I like the from what we've seen so far, I'm really excited for Spider-Man 2, man.
Yeah, me too. I'm worried about it, too, because they're jumping into this Sinister Six movie afterwards, which I kind of feel is unnecessary. Like, just throw it into Spider-Man 3.
I think this movie is going to be better than the first one. I also think it's going to be a little more lighthearted. I love the fact that they went classic costume, and
so
it looks
looking.
Awesome.
It's such a good-looking costume.
Yeah.
I'm dying to see that movie. I'm more than anything, I need to go see
Captain America.
Yeah.
I think that's what let's do that right now.
Okay, let's go.
All right.
Can you guys explain to me why it says Hail Hydra?
I was explaining this before.
Hail Hydra.
Hail Hydra.
I haven't seen the movie yet, but I know Hydra's a part of it. Hydra is a big, gigantic spy organization that are bad guys, and their symbol, like when they reveal themselves as Hail Hydra.
So
they're Nazis.
What do I have to do?
I don't know
with this?
The meme, why people doing like, the meme and everything. But.
Like, it's a picture of me and my dog, and then Coco put it out, and then I asked him, and he goes, it was actually not for you. It was for other people to get.
Maybe they're saying you're a bad guy. You are Hydra.
You're the machine.
That's what he's saying, that I'm a bad guy.
You're the overlord.
I don't know. I haven't seen the movie.
But he's saying that you're the overlord.
The meme has something to do with Captain America.
Okay, I figured that out.
But I don't know why it's significant of why they're taking... It's not just you. Mm-hmm. It's other people, too.
Other people, too.
Yeah.
It's just random people.
Hail Hydra.
So ridiculous. Okay. I hate Coco.
It could be one of the reveals. Again, like...
There's a big reveal in it.
One of the reveals, like it's in They Live. When you put the magic sunglasses on, you could see all the Obey stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so that might be it.
Does he look like me? Does the Hydra look like me?
No, it's an organization.
Do I look like them?
Yes, you look
exactly
like
anybody them. Else. It's an organization. It's tons of people.
Why don't you go see the movie and find out? Coco's working for the movie.
He's trying to
see the movie.
Yeah, he's doing grassroots marketing, apparently. And nobody knows what it means.
I got one person to see this movie. Nobody's going to go see Captain America.
Nobody.
He wants to be on the comic show and the wrestling
so
show.
So bad. So bad. He just wants, on, he man. Wants it's so fine. Much attention.
It's fine.
He I just love, wants people to pay attention.
I love Coco. I haven't seen him since, I don't think I've seen him since your birthday. Or, No. I haven't seen him since my birthday.
Your birthday.
A couple of years ago. My birthday 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Yeah, it's my Coco. If you're listening, man, what's up?
Holler.
It couldn't have been that long.
2 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, now I get it. I get it. So they apparently whisper.
Whoa!
Hey,
you spoiler on.
No, no, I'm not doing it. So, like, if you look at all the pictures, it's people like whispering it to each other.
Oh.
So what? Apparently, the picture that I have of my dog, it looks like the dog is saying,
"Gotcha,
Hail Hydra."
Oh, all right.
Hail Hydra.
All right. On that note, I think we're done. Mm-hmm. This guy's got to go to bed.
I gotta go eat something.
This guy's got to go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
I got the.
All right, everybody. This has been another episode of Behind the Counter. Stay tuned next week for the big 100th episode.
Tons of surprises.
You never know who might show up.
Matthew McConaughey on next week.
Matthew McConaughey. We got Josh.
Richard Gere.
I'm living, baby.
We got
keep Christian living. Slater, Hollywood Hunk.
Hollywood Hunk,
the voice
Slater.
Of Solid Snake, Kiefer Sutherland.
Yep, the new Solid Snake. That's going to be
And Gwen
also
Stefani, musical guest Gwen Stefani.
Yeah.
My
yeah.
impetus for picking up every Metal Gear.
You buy it yet?
No. I don't have a PS4.
It's for Xbox, dude. It's on Direct.
Is it?
$20 is the new
awesome.
Thing.
All right. That blew my mind, everybody. My name's Rich Stambolian.
I'm also Rich Stambolian.
Oh!